welcome to Bird Bros, the podcast. You're listening to what is hopefully the first of many episodes to air. As you guys maybe know, this was supposed to air back in March, but unfortunately, I ran into some personal, technical, and just life problems that have pushed it back to now. So part of the problems dealt with WordPress and trying to figure out the renewal process and renewing it for the wrong thing, and then I wasn't able to upload audio and yada yada yada. So I'm just now sort of got it figured out. I resigned to just upgrading the blog further to paying extra than I would have originally and blah blah blah, because that's just sometimes how it goes. So today I thought we would talk about quarantine, as that's what sort of a overwhelmingly universal thing that we're all going through right now. And it's bringing up a lot for me as far as what to do with my time, being stuck in the house all the time, being stuck in the house with my 6-month-old puppy who can't go to the dog park anymore all the time. And she's ringing the bell to go outside now. So she's just very restless. And having a difficult time with the transition, and as an I, because I really relied on activities and being out in nature. Nature is something that I really connect with, as you maybe have seen in this blog, and I haven't been able to go anywhere. Like, Bernheim Forest is a big refuge for me and places like that, and I've sort of waited all winter to reconnect with myself through nature, because I feel it's such a large part of myself and is sort of forced to go dormant in part in the winter, and have been waiting a long time. Winter and I have a tough relationship, and I've been trying to build a stronger one with it, and every year I at least tell myself I get closer, so, but not being able to have it when it's actually here is difficult. So I wanted to bring in some concepts that I have thought about throughout my lifetime that are sort of helping me with this, some wisdoms that either I came up with or other people came up with or events provoked in my lifetime. And so one of the things I'm struggling with the most is probably housework, because I'm like, I'm here all the time, nobody can come over, I'm angry at the world that I have to be here, but also thankful for this opportunity for stillness that I'm not really using as of yet. So today is kind of the first start of that, because I'm doing this podcast that I've kind of been putting off for a while. So something that has always been motivating towards me, I've struggled with depression for a really, really long time, and so amongst other things. So something that's came to me once when I was sort of getting through that, working through depression and working through major depression and kind of getting out of that, was doing opposite action, which is something, a word that they throw around in therapy a lot. So if, for example, you don't want to get out of bed, that the opposite action to that would be obviously getting out of bed. So it's forcing those opposite actions and using that self-discipline. And as I was going through that process, it was like physically and emotionally painful to do those things and commit to that opposite action. And I could understand why so many of us, including myself up until that point, just sort of get stuck underneath the waves and never really come out and recover from our mental illnesses or our past traumas, because it is painful to rip away from that, even though those things are hard and bad. So sort of contradictory to what our intuition might be. But I came up with something. I talked to a good friend of mine on the phone about once a week, and she and I, her name's Kyla, she'll be a guest on the show soon, so I assume she won't mind me saying her name, but she and I have these conversations where we go deep into life and the events of it and try to kind of pick ourselves apart to say, you know, why are we accepting these things, or why aren't we accepting these things, or, you know, what, how are we making our lives harder, basically, and how can we release ourselves from that? So during one of those conversations, I came up with this statement, which I think will be a forever proverb in my household, and it goes like this: if it can be done now, it should be done now, regardless of if it has to be done now. So I'll say that again. If it can be done now, it should be done, regardless of it if it has to be done now. Now. I think that that is something that's really important because I go, and I especially went around life thinking, well, I can do it later, so I'm not going to do it now. And then I would have all of later, and then it would just end up never getting done, or it would get done sort of half-assed, so to speak, or like when I was living with my mother, it wouldn't get done until I heard about it at least 800 times, and then it would maybe get done halfway. So, and when I sort of grew up, quote unquote, and had to live by myself, that was something that was really motivated me because I was at that point I was motivated to do self-work. I was motivated to love myself, and that idea of if it can be now done now, girl, it doesn't matter. You better just do it because it that means it has to be done now. If you have nothing else to do, it means it can be done now, which means it's you're gonna do it now. I mean, why wait? And so, which sort of unrelated, and she certainly didn't mean this when she sang this song, but there's a Carrie Newcomer song called If Not Now. And the line goes, if not now, tell me when. And that's, we should all just say that to ourselves when we're clean and be our own moms. But that was something I had to accept. You know, my mom could have told me that a million times and I would have just said, you know, given her the bird or something. So that's definitely something that has to come on your own. So that's something that I've tried to really think about. And during this quarantine, this is a wonderful opportunity to sort of open up to ourselves. And I know not all of us maybe have the environment that is indulgent to that. You know, if you're living in a difficult situation, if you're struggling to make ends meet or struggling to find food, or you're forced to stay in a home with an abusive family, then of course that's different. And I can understand how that would bring a lot of struggles. But I also think even if those are your circumstances, I think this does give a unique opportunity to just pave out and carve out just so much time and space to reflect and to be open to what's happening in the room as we're sitting in it, and not have to necessarily worry about so many other things. And I know that when I was doing the bulk of my self-work, I was living in a situation that wasn't ideal to doing it. I was living in a situation that was incredibly triggering and toxic, the people I was living with. So I think there's always room for that, and this virus has really scooped out a nice little seat for us to sit in and work on that, and work on our relationship with ourselves, our family, the world, the planet, and just open a lot of windows and doors towards that. So I think we're really lucky. And I spoke with another friend of mine, and we were talking on the idea of how, you know, this is sort of Mother Nature's defense mechanism, or Mother Nature's wake-up call, telling us all, you know, one species can't have all of this domineering power over millions and billions of others. So here's your check. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, friends, because, you know, it's a big wake-up call. I think I've seen lots of things on social media about, you know, in Italy and Venice, the canals are being so quickly, the pollution has gone down enough that there's wildlife back in the canals, and you can see the Himalayas for the first time peeking out of the pollution in the air. And it just has happened so quickly in the grand scheme of things. So just like we're fast-forwarding all of this climate evolution, all of this species evolution, and all of these different aspects, they're also reverting very quickly, it seems. So that's something I think is very hopeful, and that's part of the wake-up call. And I'm sure that if we just go back to our old ways, COVID-19 will come back or not be the end of it. So there's lots of different ways, lenses, and things that you could look at this through. And also not to short the fact that it has been a very interesting and difficult time for all of us, or most of us, I would think. So not to discount the struggles that are coming with it either. So something else that I've sort of been thinking about is the idea of being trapped, because we are trapped. That is a quarantine. And so that's been very triggering to me, because I've spent times, there's been times in my life where I've been trapped by others, times in my life where I've been trapped by myself. And so it's been sort of hard for me to adjust to that. And I've just sort of gotten to a place where I'm accepting of where I'm at, and I'm starting to move in it rather than sit in it. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, because I think this is a great example of needing to look at things from all sides and kind of that paradoxical thinking, and how that sort of leads to a more wholesome and acceptant living. And during this time, we're forced to spend a lot of time with people. If you don't live alone, you're forced to, or if you live alone with a 6-month-old puppy, okay, it's a serious deal having to be confined 24 hours, 7 days a week, or close to that with these people, or things, or pets, or animals, or just the space, the energy in the space. And so that same friend of mine, Kyla, she told me this story, and I think she had said she got it, it was like a Jewish Bible story type deal, and I don't remember the whole context, the setting of the story, but what I got from it was this: accept from everyone exactly what they're able to give at the time that they're able to give it. And that's something I think we could all stand to keep in mind universally, but especially maybe now when you're having to live with people and be more acceptant of those relationships. Also a great time to have some sit-down family therapy in your living room and express your feelings, because I am tired of toxic family dynamics. And I'm sure everyone probably is, I would assume so. And this is another great time to kind of look at ourselves, and like I said before, and our identity rooted in what, and asking ourselves questions and becoming curious about things and not so judgmental. And so one concept that I've been thinking about is what your identity is rooted in. Does it need to be rooted in only one thing? Does it need to be rooted at all? Is identity even necessary, especially if you're putting it all in something external, like another person or a job or a sexuality or, you know, whatever. I feel that maybe lack of diversity in those things, I've come to realize, limits fulfillment. And, you know, an analogy for that is look into your gut. If you have only one probiotic in there, or one bacteria, you're probably not doing so great. You know, it's probably coming out in your bowel movements, and it's not doing so great. You know what I'm saying? So opening ourselves up to that diversity leads to better spiritual and emotional bowel movements, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It leads to more fulfillment. And so that's something I've been looking at as well. And this is also probably opening up a lot of space for just thinking and ruminating. And so I have spent a lot of time focusing on my thoughts and what I'm thinking, and those have impacted both my recovery and when I was kind of sick, it impacted my mental health. And what we think really matters, and the language that we use, I found in particularly, really matters. It closes ourselves off to something, it creates. I read this thing once, and the summation of it was that every thought is a chemical reaction. And if you're having negative thinking, negative thinking, negative thinking, well, what do you think the chemicals are that are being made from that are like? They're negative, right? And so that concept was revolutionary for me. Well, if every thought is a chemical reaction, then I can change my entire brain chemistry just by choosing what I think and being mindful of the language that I use. And I don't know if it was just placebo effect or what, but it really made a difference in my life. And even deciding when to think. At times when my mind is racing or I'm just ruminating, I keep having intrusive thoughts about just something that I don't need to think about anymore, and it's not productive thinking. I'm not coming up with a solution, or I'm ruminating on the plan that I've made, then I'll often say, I'm not accepting thoughts right now, or I'm not accepting thoughts about this right now, or I'm not accepting thoughts about that right now, or I'm only accepting positive thinking, or I'm only accepting mindful thinking, or I'm only accepting this kind of thought. And a quote from someone unknown that Kyla and I also talked about in our conversations is, bring me a better thought. So if you're getting a thought and it's just not serving you, why not ask for another one? Who's stopping you? You know, you're the captain of your own ship, quite literally, especially when it comes to your brain. But by that same token, I know that sometimes it doesn't always seem that way. So another exercise I've been trying to practice is creativity. I'm really exploring what I can do with my time. There's some dogs barking. They're exploring what they can do with their voice, and it doesn't sound that great. It sounds like something kind of bad to me. Oh, no, he just saw another dog. I know how that feels. Okay, so creativity. So I've been doing some, I ordered a typewriter not too long ago because I got upset at my computer and was feeling impulsive, and I've always wanted one also, so it's not that irrational. Well, I guess that's probably not good. Anyway, I ordered a typewriter, and so I've been using that, and that's been a lot of fun, and I've been painting a lot more and doing yoga and whatever. This has opened all the time up in the world for all of that, and even just sitting in on my porch, and, you know, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, so it gets tight in here, so it's good to just go outside. It's a beautiful day right now. Wind's blowing. My window's obviously open, as we heard those two dogs conversating. It sounded like a one-sided conversation, but I'm sure the other one was getting something out of it. So using this time for creativity, creative thinking, creative action, creative movement, whatever that looks like for you. And if you don't like to get hippy-dippy, maybe you just are drawing, I don't know, doodling, watching a movie. Heck, I don't know, then you discuss the movie with your family. Who cares? So anyway, another thing that I've been practicing is listing my tolerations. What are the things that you're tolerating and why? Because chances are you don't need to tolerate it. One of the biggest lessons that I ever learned was that you don't owe anybody anything. Nobody does. They don't owe you anything either. Expectations are poison, and so are this idea of obligation. And that might seem like kind of like, wow, that sounds like you're kind of an ass. But, you know, it really isn't that way. Just because you don't owe anyone anything doesn't mean you can't do for them still. But the minute you have this expectation of ownership over that action, or once it's left you, then that's when it kind of gets toxic. So what are the things that you're tolerating, and why are you tolerating them, and do you need to anymore? And why are you doing it, and why do we do and deal with difficult things that are so easy to fix? Which kind of loops back around to this idea of, if you can do it now, you probably should do it now. You know, you have to do it now, whether you need to or not, whether you should or not, or whatever. And so why do we deal with difficult things that are easy to fix? If you can do it now, do it now. Don't wait for this lapse of time to expand, because at the end of the day, you're getting the same amount of things done. So don't fool yourself into thinking that if you wait 20 minutes that you're somehow gonna get more done, or if you do it now, then you're gonna lose the time you could for 20 minutes. It just doesn't work that way. We have the same 24 hours and the same amount of things can get done. It doesn't matter the order. So fix those easy things to fix. Stop tolerating stuff. Stop letting the dust settle on your body and on your psyche. And, you know, just dust off those shelves. Make a move. Create some action in your life. Stir stuff up. Don't let that stagnation weigh you down. So I just wanted to open up to that kind of perspective. And it's good to just hear it for myself, regardless of any of you even listen to it, because... And who knows, by the time this gets posted, because I'm making these sort of ahead of time, quarantine might be over. But they're always good things to think about. I think you can always take stuff like that, or most anything, out of the context it comes from and put it in another. And just the words alone will carry some kind of wisdom and some kind of meaning. So I think in summarizing all of that, if you can do it now, don't wait. If not now, tell me when. And, you know, don't tolerate things. Communicate. be conscious of yourself and look inward and sort of reflect and use this time to gain some perspective, gain some creative perspective, and ask yourself questions. Always, never stop asking yourself questions. So, I think that's about it. This is the first episode of Bird Bros the Podcast. And, funny enough, it wasn't about birds or bros. Thanks for listening.